Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop culture cosmos, inside sports, fantasy football, and game source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Lakerholics.com. The Hoopheads Podcast Network, and everywhere that we are at on social media. Of course, our good friends as well, Mr. Rafael Barlow at the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast, which I was on earlier this week, which I'll talk about just a sec, is extremely appreciated. Well, we just finished NBA Game 5, the NBA Finals, Game 5. That's wrapped up and in the books, and quite a game. You know, for an NBA observer out there who just is observing the game and you want to go ahead and take a look at a game that maybe just kind of defines what the NBA Finals is all about, I think this is a good representation of that. Back and forth right there for you. One has a big lead. The other has a big lead. One comes back. The other one comes back. I wonder if Taco Bell is going to distribute the Doritos Loco Tacos, because there was a comeback. Maybe they should put out two, because there was not one but two big comebacks. So maybe they deserve to go ahead and give us two Doritos Loco Tacos, because it was such a great game, because there was two great comebacks. But unfortunately for the Phoenix Suns and their fans, it was all for naught, as a great comeback in the fourth quarter fell to the wayside on some mistakes in the last 30 seconds and some great hands by Jrue Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo coming out in the clutch, as all three of the Milwaukee Bucks, the stars that they have, Antetokounmpo, Middleton, and Jrue Holiday, were the answer today as they won in Phoenix 123-119, taking a 3-2 game lead in the best of seven, with game six coming up, I believe, on Tuesday in Milwaukee. And here today to talk about the game are three great guests indeed. First up, it's the man himself behind Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom. We've already got Felix. How are you, Albert? I hope you're doing well as well, my friend. Great to have everyone here. Thank you so much. I want to go ahead and say Laker Tom. Felix is saying go Dodgers. You know, Laker Tom, it's go Yankees. With me, it's go Angels. So right now, I think it's probably the Dodgers doing best out of all three. Be that as
it ain't the Yankees.
And it ain't the Angels, that's for sure. But Albert's already picking the Bucks, going to be champions. L. Rob is here. There is an L. Rob signing as well, so we'll have him up there. I know everybody's been asking for L. Rob. He has returned to us. So first up, it is going to be Laker Tom. Laker Tom, great to have you back. A man who is very gracious in allowing me and Rafael to go ahead and roast him on a very popular and very well appreciated Locked On NBA Draft podcast. But Laker Tom, great to have you here. Your thoughts on the game? To me, it came down to all three of the Milwaukee Bucks stars, Jrue Holiday, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Chris Middleton, all picking up their game, all doing it on the road when they have to, because on the road, you need all your stars, and that's exactly what they got.
Well, most of the time, at least in these playoffs, we haven't seen teams with three stars have all three stars, you know, hitting every cylinder in the game, and that's what happened tonight. It was just an overwhelming situation, and basically they took a great first punch from the Suns. I had actually fallen behind and didn't get the game started in time, so I'm watching the game, and and it's up. I think it's 37-21 at the end of the first quarter.
That's okay if you have YouTube TV.
Yeah, so I had a pause on it to go finish dinner. I came back in a few minutes and hit the refresh button, and it took me to live, 59-59. It was like, whoa, what happened here? So give the Bucks credit. You know, I think it's when you look at the Bucks players, you've got an extreme veteran in that point guard. You've got an extreme veteran and superstar in Giannis. You've got, you know, a guy in Middleton who's just scoring like crazy, seemed unstoppable at times, you know. I think that you look at the other side of the coin and you've got Chris Paul, but then you've got basically two youngsters, you know. Even though you say that he's been a star for all of these years, Booker is still, this is his first playoffs. Ayton is 22 years old. I mean, these are two kids that are not even barely old enough to drink, and they're going up against three veterans playing at the height of their game, you know. I think all of that overwhelmed the home court advantage. They took that punch. They got the lead, and at that point in time, it was practically impossible for the Suns to have enough to catch up because they could not stop them down the stretch. They couldn't get the stops that they needed to be able to be successful. So, you know, when you have a big offensive game like that from Holiday, as well as all of the other things he contributes like that, clutch steal and clutch assist to put the game away, you know, I would have to say the Bucks are in the driver's seat for sure. 73% of the time, the team that goes ahead 3-2 ends up winning a series. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens indeed. Funny, someone in here picked Milwaukee in six. Wonder who that was. But I will say this. That was me. But I will say this. I disagree with you on the Booker's not ready enough comment because he's been in the league 7 years. He's also played four rounds of NBA playoffs basketball.
Two more finals. Do you think he'll be readier?
Well, no, because the fact is, there was nobody around him.
Experience counts.
In this case, no. He has no. None of them have NBA Finals experience outside of Jay Crowder. And if that's the case, somebody should have actually been on the outside to help him when he got stopped right there, but just before he got it stripped, he was looking for someone on the outside, and there was no one there. So that to me is more of an issue of everybody else around him not having that experience to be at least somewhat on the 3-point line. When
he's also was overly emotional at several points.
Oh yeah, he
argues. The refereeing really bother him. Showed a young player. I mean, the guy is supremely talented. Don't you know? I mean,
he kept them in the game.
He's the closest thing of the Kobe acolytes that has a chance to become a great player.
To show you how incorrect you are on Booker. I mean, they were ahead by 16 in the first quarter with Booker. They sit him down along with Giannis, and they went on a 16, you know, not a 16-0 run, but they went on such a run, they just swallowed up that 16-point lead in the second quarter.
Yeah, I know.
With Booker on the bench. So anybody who tells me that in regards to Booker's inexperience, that right there tells me that he played the entire 40-plus minutes very experienced to me. It's just in that last 30 seconds, the execution by all of the Phoenix Suns, including Chris Paul, including Devin Booker, including everyone else, was extremely poor. And that to me was the fact that right there, there was a difference. That last 30 seconds, you got to have everybody around you executing in the right fashion. You have a setup of plays where Milwaukee is supposed to have someone out of the 3-point line at all times. That's the way the NBA is. The one time you don't have someone set out there to help out Booker right there when he got stuck in the lane, that, you know, that made it just easier for Jrue Holiday to strip him, and there you go. So, again, it doesn't matter at this point because Milwaukee is going to take the lead home to Milwaukee on Tuesday. But also as well to talk about the game as a good man indeed, you got to join his Medium.com site right there for you, basketball-university. It is Spencer Young. Spencer, great to have you here as well. Your first podcast with the L. Rob legend himself. I am so happy that you two finally are on the same cast together. I think you've been on with Jamie Sweet before, so my condolences on that. But he's somewhere in New York. In fact, he tried to call me earlier this week, and it was like, blip, 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 and I sound like an alien calling me. So actually, I hung up on him. So, but I'm sure he'll probably bother me at some point down the line. But Spencer, your thoughts on today's game? Really, it came down to execution in that last minute. And for the first half of the 30 seconds, it was all Phoenix. But unfortunately, the second half was all Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think the two of you touched on some good points. I think, you know, when Booker was sitting during the second quarter, I thought the Suns couldn't really generate great offense. So that's why there's a huge comeback by Phoenix. And I agree. You know, that last play by Booker, they ran what you call like a 1-4 flat, except when Booker drove, Chris Paul was behind him, and there's no way that Booker is going to make that pass to Chris Paul. And after that, he had really no outlets, and so that was just a really smart play by Drew Holiday. I get why Chris Paul fouled Giannis on the alley-oop, but in hindsight, obviously.
There should have been someone on the wing at the three-point area right where he needed to be, and unfortunately, that's what he was looking for. When his head popped up to look for it, that's what he was looking for, and it wasn't there. That's when he got stripped.
Yeah, and then obviously it's a 2-on-1 with Drew Holiday and Giannis against Chris Paul. It ended how you expect it to end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some good execution, some bad execution on both sides. I thought, Phoenix actually shot tremendously well, like as a team. I thought most of their role players played well, but a lot of it just came down to the fact that when Devin Booker is not on the court or not controlling the offense, they really don't generate the same quality of looks, I think.
Yeah, well, you're telling me how well they shot. In fact, both teams shot extremely well. But let me ask you this, Spencer, before I hit it to the L. Rob man himself. How do you shoot 68% from three-point area, 55% overall, 90% from the free throw line, and lose?
Okay, obviously you let Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday and Giannis dominate, but I mean, they weren't great. They weren't very good defensively, I didn't think. They went zone for a couple of looks. It wasn't great. You know, they didn't really control the offensive board, and they committed a lot of fouls, and that's been a problem for, I think, 3 games running now. So those are the 2 things that they really need to fix if they want to stop the Suns.
Absolutely, and they've only got one more game to do it. Yeah, that's the case. If they've got to go ahead, and now the urgency is there. They've managed to lose 3 straight. But also here today to talk about what's going on with Game 5, and a critical Game 5 it was. Oh, actually, very good from NBA observer standpoint. As an NBA fan, I thought it was an excellent game. The comebacks were great. The excitement was there. The crowd was hot. You couldn't ask much more outside of maybe LeBron actually not sitting at the game, watching game. You would actually like him participating in a Lakers jersey in the game. But outside of that, great man is here indeed. He returns to us after many calls by our fans out there to go ahead and come back. It is a man with the Detroit Red Wings hat on. It is L. Rob. And L. Rob, great to have you back, my friend. And first off, let me be the first to say on this show a hearty congratulations to you and your future missus who said yes. So I'm very, very happy to say I'm just so thankful for everything that's gone on, you coming back to us, and of course, my wholehearted congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Gerald. Yeah, it was, as an NBA fan, when you see games like this, it really gets your adrenaline flowing. It is, it is the game that we've all fell in love with, played at the highest level. So I just couldn't. I had to talk to someone about it. So I was like, let me see if I can join the podcast tonight. So when Monty Williams at the end of the last game, he said, we beat ourselves, guys. It's all correctable. We gave up 20 more shots. So tonight, they both had the same number of shots. He said, we had too many turnovers. Tonight, Milwaukee actually had 3 more turnovers than Phoenix. So they corrected all of the things, most of the things that Monty talked about. The boards were pretty even. They didn't get beat up on the boards. But this is the Drew Holiday we've been waiting on, right, guys? I mean, you guys are in Southern California. You're out there in Pac-12 country. You've seen Drew way longer than I've been seeing him. This is the guy that I knew. This is the guy that I seen defend Dame Dollar and take down Portland and those guys years ago. This is the one I've been waiting to see who can play defense and score the ball and run the show. People talk about he's not an effective point guard. He can do that. He can do everything. There's nothing on the basketball court Drew Holiday can't do. Now, can he do it consistently at the elite level like some of the other guys? Maybe not. But he's certainly better than he's shown so far, and to me, in the playoffs. So this is what I was waiting on. This was the Drew Holiday game. How many guys are going to go in there and risk fouling Devin Booker? I mean, game's on the line. You're up 1 point. I mean, he go in there and he get arm or something. You know, people are looking at him like crazy because you had him stopped. He didn't have anywhere to go. But Drew, I mean, he went in there and took the gamble, and then he threw an alley-oop. I mean, yeah, you're throwing it to Giannis, so you really have to overthrow him to not execute that. But still take guts to not just hold the ball and, you know, and to play a little more conservative. So I was really happy for him. From all I know, he's such a good guy. So I was just really – and I've been a fan of his, so I'm just really happy to see him have his best game at this moment. This will be a game, and some of those plays will be plays that people will be talking about 20 and 30 years from now. Bucks fans will be talking about that like they talk about Kareem Skyhook and some of the other big players in Bucks history. So great game. Like you said, Gerald, for Phoenix to shoot nearly 70% from the three, I'm going to go out on a limb and say no team has ever shot 55% from the field, nearly 70% from 3-point line, and lost in the NBA Finals or the playoffs. I mean, that's unheard of. But Milwaukee was that good. You guys talked about the big three, but, I mean, Pat Connaughton's out there. He's knocking down shots.
Yep.
Lopez was decent. I mean, he filled his role. Bobby Porter's hitting corner threes and out there scrapping. So, basically, Milwaukee played about as good a game as they could play. So if they would have still somehow lost that game, that would have been crushing for them. So just a great, great game. And so, as someone who's rooting for the Bucks, I was happy to see them pull it out.
Absolutely. I know Albert Torquero's asking about Westbrook and also as well talking about Spencer Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie, again, he went recently on a podcast, I think, and talked about how he's looking for at minimum. He was talking, I think, $25 million a year. I think that's what he was looking for. And he would settle, I think, in the right circumstances at $20 million a year. So people have to be aware, teams have to be aware if that's what his asking range is for someone coming off an ACL who doesn't shoot three-pointers well. Wanted to say that's, you know, we've talked about it on the show, that it's kind of a risky play there if the team wants to go ahead and continue to do that. But Laker Tom, we'll talk about Russell Westbrook because Albert is also asking about Russell Westbrook here in a minute. But Laker Tom, again, to close out our conversation on the NBA Finals here, as it shifts over to Game 6, do you think this is all but over at this point?
No, I don't think so. You know, it just depends. There's two possible trends. One trend, obviously, is the team that jumps off to a two-game lead and gets swept over the next four games. And that could very well happen. They're going back to Milwaukee. You know, you have to, if you're the Suns, think that, you know, you could be up. You know, this series could be over. You could have won this series. You lost two games that were winnable games, you know. And a lot of it was clutch veteran play at the end of the game, you know, in each situation. So it just depends on how quickly the players adjust, how badly they want it, and the bounce of the basketball. But it's definitely within the realm of reality. 27% of the teams who are down 2-3 came back to win the championship. So that's still not bad odds. And I think like any time you look in these games, it comes down to the stars having great games and the people, the guys like Connaughton draining those threes. I mean, he has been just deadly in the threes. It's been a great series for anybody who wasn't just dedicated to wanting to have big market teams in there, because the quality of basketball has been outstanding. The quality of clutch shots that these guys are making, the consistency of great offense beating great defense. It's everything that a good fan of modern basketball want.
Yeah, absolutely. A great game. And I know Spencer, you pointed out some very great things out there as far as what was going on, but Game six, if you're Phoenix, you've got to be deflated at this point. Again, because you, as L. Rob and I both pointed out, you shot so well as a team. I mean, you can't ask for much better than that. 50, 60, and 90 from the field and from the line is incredible. And to lose shooting that well, that's got to be a heartbreaker heading into Milwaukee for game six.
Yeah. I mean, going to Milwaukee, that's going to be a tough task, because you already know, like, the atmosphere, if the Suns arena was rocking, you know, the arena in Milwaukee is going to be just as loud. And yeah, obviously all of the pressure's on them. And, you know, like, you blow a game like that, it can make or break a team, I guess. So I guess if Phoenix is really a championship team, we'll see it in game six. But if not, I mean, you blew the 16-point lead and you blew the 2-0 series lead.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. I mean, we'll see what Phoenix is made up. You know, they never have no one to look at but themselves. Their constant mistakes, turnovers in game four was an issue. They've had that game, and they had a chance to go ahead and really do a number in both games three and game four. They had their opportunities. But L. Rob, before we go ahead and head on Russell Westbrook real quick, because I want to touch on that, please let me know your final thoughts on this game and what you're looking forward to from game six. Because if you're a Phoenix Suns fan, you really can't get better than how you played on everywhere else except for the defense.
Yeah. Like Spencer said, that final play call was the 1-4 flat, and that's man, they had just scored the last two. They got Booker on a good curl, and he hit the three, I believe, to cut it from 6-3. That was a good play call and an incredible shot. I thought he was kind of gassed, and for him to still be able to have enough to hit that three, and then Chris Paul, I believe, came back and hit a good ISO and went to the basket for a bucket. Yeah, I don't know about just clearing it out for him on that last play call, but I mean, it's easy to second guess. That's hindsight. As far as to look for, it's going to be crazy, man. Phoenix will really, really have to. I mean, to me, they got the benefit of the whistle in some games. They've been getting away with being a little more handsy, and I can't see them being able to get away with some of that in Milwaukee. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Booker's been able to get away with fouls both in Phoenix and Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, he had his arm wrapped around Middleton. It's like, come on, ref. But it's going to be Milwaukee's going to be, the atmosphere is going to be sky high. You got Chris Paul, though. You got a vet. I'm glad he played well. I would hate to see him have another bad game, but he have 11 assists, one turnover. Or at least one he was credited to. He may have had, you know, really realistically maybe two or three. But I was glad. I don't want to see him play bad and have the pressure of why they lost, because he didn't play decent. He played well tonight, so that was good. But it's going to be up to him to calm them and just to kind of keep them in there. But you don't get to the finals without having some fight. And as well as we're talking about, Phoenix shot the ball well. I mean, Milwaukee shot it great too. So will they continue to shoot it great?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so
just on the line, they struggled from the line, but that's obviously a tripo. But still, 57% from the field, 50 from the three. You can't argue with that as well.
But I think your prediction will come to fruition. I think Milwaukee will wrap it up in six, and then we can move forward and really start looking forward to the rest of the draft and free agency and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that one is what I'm really looking forward to. And hopefully they'll go ahead and finish it off. Prove myself right. Prove Jamie right. Oh, my gosh. That will be the hard part for Laker Tom to swallow, is that both Jamie and I will be right. So, yes, go ahead, Tom. Go ahead. I'll unmute you now.
You got to root for a game seven.
I won't be rooting for a game seven.
No.
I know ABC will be rooting for a game seven, but that's just because ratings are up as per last year, from last year. So,
hey, it's a strange year. It's a strange year. Two teams that probably ain't going to get back into the finals for another decade. Why not have a game seven?
Why not? Why not? But you know what? Six sounds fine. Six sounds fine to me. Six sounds fine to me. But guys, there's still more to talk about on today's program.
As soon as the game seven is over, there's no more basketball. Till October, man.
Well, no, because there's Olympics, then there's Summer League, and then there's...
You know, we can't go to baseball, not with our teams.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's ARYSE.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Again, there's still basketball. You just got to find it, got to search out for it. The Olympics are coming. And we'll talk about one of Laker Tom's most favorite players who just got selected on the team here in a second. But I want to hit you up with this because it was asked by in our chat from Albert to Garo. He asked about Russell Westbrook. I know Russell Westbrook's a name, Laker Tom, that you and Spencer have both thrown around a little bit, but if you want to commit to him as a third star on your team, A, he doesn't shoot well, and B, correct me if I'm wrong, with what he is per year, you do become hard capped if that's the case and you trade all your assets for him in return.
No, I don't. If I'm
not
mistaken,
can you get away with it?
If I'm not mistaken, he has 2 years left on his contract, or at least a year and an option.
Yeah.
So he's a tradable. You can get him without a sign and trade.
Okay. But no, I mean, as far as
obviously it's impossible to receive a sign and trade player making more than $22 million a year, because the only way you can do that, he makes 46 million, I think.
Yeah, so I'm saying, how much in the assets do we have?
You can't
enough?
Do that. He's automatically over the hard cap. It'd be an illegal trade. But you don't have to hard cap to get him, because he's got a contract. He's under contract. You just have to give Washington
the assets.
Yeah, so you got $26 million with Kuzma and KCP. You sign Harrell for $14 million. That's gets you up to $40 million. That's a trade.
Good God. Yes. All right.
And it's a good way for Harrell to get more money than he'd normally get. You know?
Yeah.
Because the Lakers, assuming that they actually would do this, want Westbrook and feel that they can win with him.
Yeah.
And at the same token, Washington would love to get something for Westbrook and get out of the contract.
Absolutely. That would be just so great. I can't wait.
Well,
but yes, it can be done. But it can be done.
It can be done.
It can be done. It's just going to create a little bit of salary cap gymnastics, as it were. So.
Well, it's
going to
create what's called luxury taxes.
Well, Spencer, let me ask you this. Would you be interested if Russell Westbrook falls our way?
Not at all. I mean, you know, I posted like a link to one of my articles on Lakerholics, and I had someone commenting on the fact that LeBron making $41 million a year was going to create like salary cap issues. So, you know, you add in another $41 million in Russell Westbrook, who he's old, he's getting older too, and his production's declining. So yeah, the salary cap issues would be bad. I think you have to cater a team to Russell Westbrook, and we're not going to cater to him, obviously.
No, he'd be the number three on our team. And the thing is, do you want to make a guy who has to have the ball so much and cannot shoot well?
Yeah, you need a team who gives him the ball, spaces the floor, and plays like good perimeter defense to make up for. He's slowing down on that, and I just think he, even at best, like, let's put aside salary cap concerns, I think his skill set is just too much overlap with LeBron. I think what LeBron does well, Russell Westbrook does well, so you don't need more of it.
Now, Rob, you've been shaking your head. You concur with Spencer and Laker Tom?
Yeah, I can't see Westbrook in the purple and gold as being a good fit. Like Spencer said, there's too much overlapping of talent. He needs the ball in his hands a little too much. And I can see it now in the, you know, in the end of the game, you're trying to get the ball to LeBron and AD, and Westbrook guy is right there in one of those guys' lap because they're not worried about, you know, him knocking down shots. So he's still a great talent and an all-star. I mean, it would take a great coach to figure out a way to incorporate him with the Lakers, and I don't think we have that coach that could figure it out and do it. Maybe if we had somebody like a Larry Brown or somebody that can give Westbrook to play the way he would need to play with the Lakers, then it might be worth that gamble. But, yeah, not as we're currently constructed.
I agree. I just think it would be too hard of a fit. Plus, you're creating a situation where the shooting is just become even worse, and you need to start opening up a little. And we see even tonight, even when you are shooting well, there are issues there. But still, to me, it just makes it a lot easier for you if you have shooters out there that can open up the space for LeBron and AD. I think this would have been the type of game where maybe LeBron and AD could have taken advantage of a situation where they would be hitting in places where Phoenix obviously wasn't. So I don't know. It seems to me like that would be a hard fit for Russell Westbrook to become part of the Lakers. But I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility, because that's the type of thing that garners headlines during the offseason. That's the kind of thing that builds momentum. So I'm not going to put it out of the realm of possibility, but I certainly don't think that would be the best option for the team as well. But guys, there's more to talk about on today's program. Again, Team USA in turmoil as we head over to Tokyo, where unfortunately Bradley Beal has bowed out of the Olympics. And I feel bad for him because he was really looking forward to this due to health and safety protocols. Also, Kevin Love, in a total non-shocker, was a shocker that he was actually on the team, but a non-shocker that he realized he was not in good enough shape to actually play on Team USA, and admitted that when he bowed out. So they were looking around, and they asked a lot of individuals who are probably somewhere out there vacationing somewhere in the world, Mediterranean, Greece, Italy, they're somewhere out there. Those players are out there. Watch out for them. But then there's also the individuals that they tried to do find and say, you know what, are you in shape enough to go ahead and play for Team USA? And Keldon Johnson, good player. I think he was on the team select team that was practicing and scrimmaging against Team USA. So they got a chance to really good look to go ahead and check him out. And I know his affinity with Greg Popovich, coach of the U.S. team, helped him get onto this team. So he was selected on the team. But to Laker Tom's surprise, I'm sure, the second name on that list was somebody that is always talked about on this program, and that's JaVale McGee. So, Laker Tom, I'm going to start with you first. I got to admit, I was surprised. Of all the individuals that were out there that weren't vacationing, that were ready to go and play for Team USA, the name I did not think I would see being added onto the roster was JaVale McGee.
Well, congratulations to JaVale. You know, I've always liked JaVale as a player, as a character. He's at various times been a valuable player on the Lakers, and I'll always be grateful for that. I just am not a fan of low post defensive centers, basically. I think that they hinder you in a modern game and so forth. But I would say, though, that it does make sense, because that's one of the weaknesses that team has, that they don't really have any rim protection or vertical threat, you know, underneath the basket. And that's something that can help them against the Europeans.
How many fouls are allowed for?
Five fouls for the game. FIBA rules.
FIBA? Okay.
You foul out at five.
Okay. All right.
But they allow a lot more hand checking and
physicality. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But in Summer League, it's 10. I remember that. But yeah, five then. Well, we'll see what JaVale McGee can do in his limited amount of time. But you're right. As far as a individual out there that can provide some shot blocking presence, that could be a capability if he gets off the bench. But he will probably be one of the latter options on the team. But Spencer, I want to ask you, with these additions of Keldon Johnson and Spencer Young, and out goes Kevin Love and Bradley Beal, not exactly the trade-off you were expecting. Is your hopes for the U.S. Olympic team still there? Do you think they're still going to pull it off? I mean, they're still the betting favorite, but those odds are getting a little bit closer and closer.
I mean, like you said, I was shocked that JaVale McGee was named.
I had to look at it a second time.
Yeah, so did I, because I saw names like Tobias Harris, Trae Young. I mean, sure, they might have been resting after the playoff, but in no scenario did I see them going to like a role player center. But I mean, it's fine. I think the players they get from the finals, Holiday, Middleton, Booker, I think that's it. I think those three would raise my level of optimism, so I still think they'll be fine.
Okay, all right. L. Rob, your Olympic viewing package with Peacock, I'm sure, is in detail right there for you, getting ready to go ahead and check out everything on NBC and Peacock, as I see you smiling there. But your thoughts as JaVale McGee and Keldon Johnson join Team USA, are you still confident on a gold for the red, white, and blue?
Far from it. So, yeah, and this did nothing to bolster my confidence in the U.S. ability to win. It kind of reminds me of that 2014 that I think they won bronze, or they maybe came in fifth with LeBron and I think Iris. I mean, that's when Kobe had come back and kind of showed them how to win the gold. So, yeah, this team is definitely not something I would bet on winning it. So they got a lot of work to do, and I don't know if adding JaVale is going to help much. But I guess JaVale is trying to match his mom. I got to give a shout out to Flint Town here, Pam McGee, Pam and Paula. Your alma mater, right, Jero?
Yes. USC. Yes, USC. Yep.
Pam. Right on. Yeah, I believe they won a couple. And I believe she won a WNBA championship and then won gold as well. So
that is correct.
If he can bring home the gold, he will match his mom, since he'll have a couple NBA championships and a gold. So, you know, I'll be rooting for him, and good for him. Good for him. But, yeah, they have their work cut out for him. So.
Okay, so he's just trying to catch up at the dinner table to make sure he has enough jewelry.
Yeah, he's got to surpass mom.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, the McGee twins were great, very underrated in the annals of basketball history, period. I mean, you know, I always talk about Cheryl Miller, Lisa Leslie, and you know, obviously Diana Taurasi, who was in the new movie Space Jam, A New Legacy, which we'll talk about here in a sec. But yes, I am still kind of nervous myself after the showing so far. I know they had to cancel one game due to COVID protocols against Australia. I think they have one more game that I think they're going to play on Sunday before they head on out to Tokyo. So we'll see what happens there. But I am concerned for Team USA. I do not share the same confidence some others have in them. I still think they should be the favorite for gold, but I think that gap is very, very small between them. Yeah, exactly. Them and everybody else. So there is no room for error, I think, with Team USA on this current timeout. They've got to stop doing ISO ball as much. They got to start playing more of a team game. And it's so funny because that three-point area international is shorter. It's in between where a college and where a pro game is sits. So you think it's closer, it should be easier, right? But it's, for some reason, it seems to freak out most of the Americans when they play it, if you're not named Carmelo Anthony. So maybe they should have brought him back, because he always seems to hit from the international three.
He's done his best work for the Olympics.
He's
got a great NBA career, but his best accomplishments have been in the Olympics.
I think if the international three was the three by the NBA, Carmelo would be the all-time leading scorer, because he absolutely could not miss from the international three. That's always saw him chucking it up and always just making it from there. I just absolutely love that closer range. But be that as it may, we'll see what happens in the not-too-distant future, and we'll report on the ongoings of Team USA in the Olympics here at the Lakers Fast Break. But guys, LeBron, I'm assuming he was there visiting, or was it an ABC plant because of what's going on? Or maybe Warner Brothers wanted to go ahead and have him there, which usually is the case when you're promoting a movie. But Space Jam, A New Legacy, hit theaters. and is actually projected in a surprise to beat Black Widow by the end of the weekend as the number one box office movie in North America and in many countries around the world. So big hit for LeBron, I think garnering over a $30 million haul, which is going to be the largest family-oriented film of the pandemic. So kudos to LeBron. The reviews have not been very kind. In fact, right now it's averaging, I think, around a 36 or 37 on Metacritic out of 100. So that's not good. And then I think the Rotten Tomatoes say under 40% or right around 40% of the reviews are positive. I can tell you I have seen the movie. Have any of you guys else checked out the movie as well this weekend? I see three heads shaking, so I'll just leave it at this. I will have more to say on it on the Monday show for the Pop Culture Cosmos, but I will say that if you're into animation, if you're an animation buff, this is cutting-edge animation that they used. It took all your favorite characters from the Warner Brothers Looney Tunes regime and really did a number on them, really helped spice it up. It shows you what the animation will look like in the future. It is a moving, walking, running, jumping commercial for everything Warner Brothers. So if you ever wondered what was in the library for Warner Brothers, as far as the IPs it has, whether it's Harry Potter, The Matrix, and so much more, all that stuff there, you will see it time and time again, plastered in front of your face. The story itself tries to evoke a lot of that same, I guess, importance as far as a basketball game that they did with Michael Jordan's Space Jam 25 years ago. It doesn't resonate as well. I think that's the problem. I think Don Cheadle was enjoying himself standing in front of a green screen, being the evil for 2 hours. He was actually one of the best parts out of it. LeBron, all I'll say is this. It wasn't train wrecked for him. If people remember the movie and his appearance there, he was very lauded for that performance. He will not be lauded for this performance. There are some other issues I had with it, but overall, the animation style, I think, was really, really something to see. But I give it an okay. I give the movie an okay, because, again, how many lapses the story had, the animation, for me, more than made up for it, so... There you go. But I can see why people are dumping on this film if you're not a big fan of it. So just will say that. But yes, if you are into great animation or you want to just see how they thought of Space Jam in a new time span and a new generation, go ahead and check out Space Jam New Legacy. That's available on HBO Max and also theaters as well. So guys, that was my tit for tat right there on Space Jam and New Legacy. Are any of you guys going to go check it out at least? Maybe.
Probably not.
No. Eventually, but not probably not anytime soon with me.
Spencer, no, not resonating with no.
Why not? I guess I'll go.
Spencer's a young man. He's a young guy. He'll check it out. Old geezers like me and Tom. Yeah, it's hard for us to
All right. Well, it's got some, I guess, some positives in it. Don Cheadle was really, really cool. He seemed to be enjoying himself.
I'm a big fan of Cheadle.
But he more than makes up for it in Space Jam: A New Legacy because he carried the film to whatever respectability it's got. But yes, that's Space Jam: A New Legacy. But guys, before we head on out, I wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit about PJ Tucker. You saw him tonight in Game 5, guarding Devin Booker the predominant amount of time. He usually picks up one of the best defensive assignments that are out there. He's relied upon a lot, kind of gets lost on offense, does still hit the corner jumper every now and then, but he's not counted on too much in the offensive end. But the thing is, I'm hearing more and more, and I'm also reading more and more about rumors that he might become or be interested in joining the Lakers with the MLE. So I want to hear your thoughts, Laker Tom, L. Rob, and Spencer Young, on this. First off, I will go to you, L. Rob. PJ Tucker, he has done an outstanding job, but he is 36, if I'm not mistaken. And if that's the case, you would have to probably sign him for a multi-year contract, because that's probably what he'll be looking for in free agency. Your thoughts on PJ Tucker signing possibly with the Lakers?
I'm sorry. I'm not one to go out and get guys that's, you know, that long in the tooth. So PJ can still defend if he want to come over for a veteran's minimum and somebody that we can plug in to play 10 or 15 minutes of tough defense. I mean, he's not the defender he once was. And at that age, you know, he's not getting any better. So, no, I would pass on PJ. He gives everything he has. He just doesn't have it anymore. I mean, is he really impacting Devin Booker game? I think Booker was slowed down some when they finally switched Holiday onto him. And then I believe that Chris Paul, even on that last drive to cut it to one, I think that was on PJ. And he attacked PJ's body and scored on him.
Yeah, when Drew was helping out and got the steal, he was doing it off ball. He was going, he came from off ball, and PJ Tucker was the man he was going against him.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a very good position defender, but no, I want to get younger. I mean, you're already going to have LeBron, who's long in the tooth. So no, give me somebody with a little more youth and athleticism. Unless PJ just wants to come along and you know, he's going to just take a bet minimum, but no, I don't want to use my exception for him.
Laker Tom, I agree with L. Rob on this. I think that's the case. That if they do go after him, it would be I don't actually think he'll end up being on the Lakers because he's going to be looking for this summer a 2-year deal, probably looking at somewhere in the MLE. I think he's going to think that he has a lot more time left than what some others are estimating. Your thoughts on spending that kind of money for PJ Tucker? Because I don't think he'll be signing for the minimum. I think there might be a situation where he signs with a team and then, like what happened this year, he gets cut because he has to get cut, and then he gets signed by the minimum for the Milwaukee. But that's a different story altogether. But do you think he would be of interest for the Lakers?
Well, first off, he's going to win a championship very likely. Which
he doesn't need a ring chase.
So he doesn't need a ring chase, which can affect the decision that he makes in his situation. I'm actually in love with the idea of PJ Tucker on the Lakers. One of the things that I think is the biggest offshoot of this news that Mark Stein broke about the Lakers looking for a real difference maker, playmaker at the one, so that they can move LeBron to the four and AD to the five. It opens up the opportunity for more shooting and defense to be put in the lineup than we could get with anybody that we'd plug in at center, you know, because already then you have the best power forward and the best center in the business. And if you match them, it all depends. I mean, I could see a scenario where the Lakers brought Lonzo Ball in on a sign and trade. And because it's a sign and trade, it would hard cap him. And I could see that as long as they had Ball, who's a prolific 3-point shooter, maybe now's the time to throw Horton Tucker in there at the two. Say, you know, let's prove that you can be a star, because, and give him the minutes and the opportunity to do it. And you get PJ Tucker for the MLE, and it's going to be the taxpayer MLE or the full MLE, which hard caps you also, because it's $9.7 million. He's not going to sign for $6.8 million. Then you got a three, a four, and a five that are actually interchangeable. Each one of them can guard five, can guard one to five, and can guard all three levels. So it's the core of a – and you add Lonzo in there. Even though Talen hasn't shown – I constantly see him getting beat by quicker players, and sometimes it takes him time to get that long lumber body, you know, to move and to follow a player. So he's not the type of guy that can hug somebody like a cornerback and stay with every move they make. But he's got this exceptional length, and he's got, you know, and he's exceptionally strong. And when you put his size and Lonzo's size together along with PJ Tucker, LeBron, and AD, I mean, I think you have a monster lineup.
Well, I would something going back to what we talked about on a previous program with Lonzo Ball. He still doesn't love to go to the rim. As you look at the number of free throw attempts, his free throw percentage went up, but he still only attempts one free throw a game. So that tells me that that's not good. He's still scared of going into the rim. So he's going to be playing mainly on the outside for you and playmaking from the perimeter. So that's something you're going to have to count on because he does not like to go inside, no matter how well his free throw percentage is going up.
Yeah, but he takes and makes a high percentage of over eight threes a game.
Yeah, I know. And that's something you want.
And he's a great low, and he's a great – he can defend the 1, 2, 3, sometimes even a 4. He's got the size to do it and the strength to do it. I think, he's got exceptional potential as a playmaker, but mostly he's really adaptable. We can plug him into whatever we want to do.
Good size.
I think there's a good chance that the Lakers may decide that he's not good enough for them to hard cap themselves. I think that's a logical step that a general manager, that Rob Pelinka, could make in that situation. But I also think if I knew, for example, that I could get PJ Tucker for the MLE along with LeBron and AD, that's a 3-4 and a 5. And let's say we knew that we had Horton Tucker maybe for a $10 million a year raise, to re-sign him so that we had those locked up and all we needed was a point guard to have what could be a really dynamic defensive, juggernaut of a defensive team. And with size, I mean, nobody in the league has three guys who can really cover all five positions. That's really exceptional. So TJ, he's 36. It's a gamble. Yeah, it's a win now LeBron move. But
it is. No, that's what we're talking about.
That's one of the reasons they're playing LeBron at the 4 and AD at the 5 this year, because they realize that window's shutting down fast.
Yep. I'll say that.
You got to go for it at that point in time.
But I'm not sure PJ Tucker.
$50 million in luxury taxes.
Yeah, but I'm not sure PJ Tucker at the MLE is the answer. But Spencer, we've had one with L.
Well, the MLE is the only answer you'd get if you're hard capped.
So. Well, I'm just saying, instead of, if he wants the MLE, I'm not sure signing him at that is the answer. But Spencer Young, wanted to ask you before we go ahead and check out what you're doing at Basketball University. Wanted to ask you this: is PJ Tucker worth the MLE to the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think his personally, I think he's declined pretty significantly this year compared to his Rockets days, and I'd say his value is closer to the biannual exception, which I know we don't have, but I think, hypothetically, that's the amount I'd rather.
Well, we have it. It just belongs to Alual Deng. That's all.
I agree with Laker Tom from the standpoint of, I think we need one more 3-and-D player to round out our best lineups, because even in 2020, our best lineups usually were 3 guards, LeBron, and AD. So you're missing one extra wing. And then this year, I guess it's debatable where our best lineups were, because we had so many centers out there the whole game. But, yeah, I think he's a good fit, but I don't think he's worth the MLE. And he was reportedly irate with the Rockets, so over not getting a contract extension at 36 years old. So I think you alluded to this. We'd have to offer him a multi-year deal, which I wouldn't want to do. And I guess the final part that would lead me to say no is that I'd rather, if we're gonna be hard capped, I'd rather just throw the MLE at Otto Porter Jr., who I think, he's a better shooter. He's younger. He's more athletic. So, if I'm giving a multi-year deal, I'm giving it to someone else.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
Wow, man. Right. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. PJ Tucker is not someone who's going to chuck up 8 threes a game. That's the one thing. You like shooters that are going to put it up a lot. And you know PJ Tucker 3-4 times a game max, you know, and that's really outside of his comfort zone.
That's all you can afford if you hard cap yourself with Lonzo.
Yeah.
That's true. The problem. You can't afford Terry Rozier. You can't afford Buddy Hield at that point in time. That they'll throw you over the hard cap. And the only weapon you have is the MLE. Fortunately, you'd have the full MLE since you're hard cap from the sign and trade. So who else would you consider with a full MLE? What other candidate with a full MLE could fill that 3 slot?
Otto Porter Jr., I think, is excellent. I know
If you take it, it'd be a godsend.
Yes, I think that's something that they do strongly need to consider if he's willing to take it, because I think he needs to go ahead and have a rejuvenation of his own. He's right now not as well thought of as he once was, but he's not that far removed from having a great season that he had. So you could get a situation where he could be using the Lakers much as the Lakers are using him to work on their next contract, whether it's with the Lakers or somebody else. And I think that's what he should be doing right now. And maybe signing cheaper with the Lakers could be the answer. If he's an integral part of a Lakers championship run, as you might see with PJ Tucker this summer, that might be a lot of money that's coming your way. People kid out there and have, why would they want to sign a 36-year-old to a multi-year contract with PJ Tucker? But if you're coming off of a championship team where you're a starter playing defense on the key offensive player for the other team, even at 36, people are going to be attracted to that. Teams are going to be attracted to that. So even if L. Rob and Spencer and I disagree with that, I'm not going to put it out of the realm of possibility for the Lakers that they could get seduced by that. And all it takes is a conversation from LeBron, or maybe watching him today at Phoenix as he was there in the stands. That might be all the things that would take, you know. At this point, I'm not out of the realm of possibility of doing one of those deals where it could be on the verge of great choice for the MLE or a head-shaking one. But I definitely think Otto Porter Jr. or maybe another choice would be a better route to go.
I don't think there's any other better, more affordable choices. You know, it changes if the big question for me about what the Lakers are going to do this summer that totally determines what happens after they make their first big trade is point guards. And you basically have to split them into two categories. On the one side, you got the guys who are free agents, and for free agency, and it costs more than the MLE. And every one of those guys is going to hard cap you, which is going to create a problem finding somebody for the 2 and 3, unless you really believe that THT and Kuzma can be that solution, which I don't. On the other side, you have point guards who are under contract with somebody. And they're hopefully, let's say, they're available on the market. Maybe it's a Malcolm Brogdon. Maybe it's a Terry Rozier. Maybe it's even a Russell Westbrook. I mean, these are guys that actually have contracts that you can trade for them. We can go over the cap with it. We can use Schroeder. We can use Harrell as part of our tradable assets. But the question is there anybody among those point guards that's really available? I guess I'd have to say Brogdon would probably be the top choice.
That would be mine.
But if Brogdon wasn't available, who would be probably the next choice that we'd have? Who'd be comparable, let's say, at least in the same ballpark generally as Lonzo or Lowry, both of whom have real positives that they bring to the table?
What if we could actually get, like we were talking about on one of last week's shows, Brogdon, Hield in your backcourt, and get Otto Porter Jr. as your 3. Would you be more receptive to that?
You could do that if you can get the first 2. You still have the MLE available.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have trade assets available, depending on what you gave up, you know, to get them. I mean, there's a much – it's a $50 million route, okay?
Yeah.
30, 40, 50 million. It'll be somewhere in there. In luxury taxes, if you go that route, you know, you can end up with a better team. The big question is, could you win a championship with the other route if you got Lowry? If you got Lowry, let's say you got Lowry and you got PJ Tucker. Adding those two, could you win it? I mean, it's not a team built for the future.
That's for sure.
Both guys are at the end of their career, along with LeBron. But for the next 2 years, when you're going with LeBron's last 2 years, maybe, that's not a bad bet. I mean, I could, as a general manager, I could see talking myself into it, especially if the alternative cost me $50 million more and wasn't any surer than rolling this set of dice or rolling that set of dice, to be honest. Injuries and so many other things, you know, factor into to make it. But who else after Malcolm Brogdon do either of you three think would be a candidate that we could trade for?
All right. Anybody that you had your eye on?
Yeah, I've kind of got my heart set on Lonzo, actually. So I'm hoping they go all in and try to bring Lonzo back.
I think it'd be great.
Not really. I'm not the guru that the rest of you guys are on as far as the free agency. And I haven't locked in on it like as much as you guys have. So I'm going to defer to you three on that.
I personally would love to see if they've got Brogdon and Hield in the backcourt, along with if they could somehow manage to pull off getting that and Porter as a three. You've got length, you've got size, you've got people who want to jack up shots from the three, and you've got people that can hit 35-40% from three. So I think that solves a lot of issues. Who plays good enough defense? That's an also thing, is they're not sieves on defense. But Spencer, your thoughts? I mean, would you go old or would you go young?
I mean, I would go in between and take Malcolm Brogdon as my first choice. Like I've said that consistently, but even if like I have to push so many assets towards Malcolm Brogdon that KCP is still my starting shooting guard, I would still go for it. But I think Lonzo, it's just a tough proposition because he's a restricted free agent. So you're not really paying him market value. You have to overpay to the point that New Orleans is okay letting him go, and you're being hard capped. So it's just a tough sell for me on Lonzo. And
depends what you got to pay for him is what it comes down to.
Yeah, it really does. I think a team with Lowry, LeBron, AD, PJ Tucker, and then mostly Beth Mims, I would take it. I think there's a lot of potential, but it wouldn't be my number one choice, I guess. But we'll see in the coming months. There's so many variables that go into this, right?
How important is a third star to you, Spencer? To me, it's really critical.
The thing is, you have two top five talents, so it's lessened to a degree. But yes, I understand that if Kyle Lowry is on the Lakers, there's a strong chance for playing right now, right? So I won't undersell the importance, but at the same time, I'll keep in consideration that you have two top five players, so you don't necessarily have to build towards third star.
Here's an interesting question that's sort of related to this whole thing. All of a sudden, we have a young man on the team, Kyle Kuzma, who everybody's already traded, simply because his starting position, which is small forward or power forward, currently, at least this year, we're manned by our two superstars, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Well, next year, they're going to play four and five. All of a sudden, the three is open, which is his most natural position. Could he be an option to be one of the guys who start next year? He averaged over 20 points per game as a starter. He's improved his defense dramatically, his playmaking. He knows the system. He's trustworthy to defend. He's maybe our best defender as far as a wing defender, assuming that we don't get a PJ Tucker or Jay Crowder or somebody like that. That's what we need. We need a guy like that to guard Kawhis and the Paul Georges and the Kevin Durants and so forth. What do you think about the possibility that one of the changes of the 4-5 front court superstars could be a spot for Kyle Kuzma to start?
I think that's your last option.
Yeah, I don't actually think small forward's like his best position. I know.
Agreed.
We've had to like push him there, but I think.
How about shooting guard?
Okay, that's.
Remember, this is the guy that we wanted to play small ball center two summers ago.
No, I'm sure. I've already traded him 80 times.
Yeah. He's traded himself off of Instagram.
He's the most traded player. He's the most traded player in my timeline. There's no doubt about it. But he's the most valuable chip we have.
he's also not consistent from the three. He may get there one day, and if he does, it's probably going to be after he leaves the Lakers.
It'll be for another team.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And that's the problem. That lies, you know, you've got to produce with the Lakers.
Well, I'd much rather have Buddy Hield than him, for example.
Well, there you go. I think you just answered your own question there.
The only problem is that you can't have Lonzo or Lowry and still be able to board Buddy Hield. This doesn't work.
That's why I like Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon is the type of guy that in the playoffs could be really solid for you and make those good decisions and those smart decisions.
Well, and you don't hard cap yourself. He'd be, yeah. They should go after him like a, I'm almost like where Spencer is, man. Whatever you got to throw at him to get him to trade him.
Yeah.
Do it. Give him whatever he wants.
You would still have the opportunity to get Hield, who can shoot you in a game and shoot you, you know, get eight threes
you get
for
Hield
you.
And Rozier. You get another three-point shooter, and all of a sudden, you're in a modern offense.
Otto Porter, if you get him with the MLE, that would be tremendous, getting him as a three right there for you. Long, good reach. If you got a playoff team, they usually magically stay a lot healthier than when they're on, let's say, the Chicago struggling Bulls right now. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Also, too, it's – you notice –
they're playing for a contract.
I'm kind of interested in what – I haven't seen this anywhere, which is – a graph that would show you the people that have had major injuries this year, what their age is. Because I'm wondering how much of it is older guys versus the younger legs that you have, and thinking about a future that's still not going to be, doesn't appear to be unpandemic. I mean, we're still going to be living in a pandemic world. And, you know, I mean, Giannis's brother is out for contact tracing right now. What if that was Giannis in the finals at this point? I mean, my God, what a nightmare. I mean, younger players seem to be less prone to having more problems.
But then we see what is Chris Paul. Chris Paul's playing.
Yeah, right.
And he's been hurt. He still plays through it. I mean, PJ Tucker, we just finished talking about. How old is he?
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's a difficult season because it's like the question, do you trade THT or don't you trade him? He's really your second best asset, probably after Kuzma.
Well, you've had Kuzma traded 80 times. Did you hear me and Raphael? Anyways, did you hear that show?
I haven't had a chance to hear it yet.
Oh my gosh!
I started the other day and I listened to Raphael's top five picks.
You give top five picks. That's another one of his shows.
That's right. I hadn't had a chance to click on the last. I haven't listened to either of the last two shows.
He didn't even read the article for my mock draft, which I debuted on his site exclusively. Didn't put it on mine. Didn't put it on the HoopHeadsPodcast.com site. I put it on his and advertised
I started
on a nationally known show. And this is the kind of respect I get.
I promise you, I'll watch it tomorrow morning.
I swear. But guys, before we end on that, no worries, Laker. No worries. You give the guy some pub, and this is what he does. But anyways, before we head on out, I wanted to go ahead and make sure everybody goes ahead and checks out, again, my conversation with Raphael Barlow on Locked On NBA Draft. It's a great show that he does twice a week, and I was on the most recent episode. But you also can check out exclusively for only a little while longer, LakerHolics.com. You're right, Spencer. I think I might just do that. I think I might just do that after the betrayal I got from Laker Tom. You might see Mock Draft 5.0 on Basketball University first. There you go. But guys, before we head on out, L. Rob, I want to make sure and thank you so much for coming back on by popular demand. I didn't know there were so many L. Rob fans out there, but over the course of the past couple of weeks, where's L. Rob? I'm on with Lee Montville, award-winning writer Lee Montville. I'm having a great interview with him, and I see all of a sudden in comments, where's L. Rob? And I'm going, oh, my gosh, I'm having a conversation. Then don't worry about L. Rob. So, L. Rob, thank you
so much. He's off getting engaged, man.
Well, you know what? Thank you so much for coming back on again. Great to have you on one more time. Looking forward to have you on, hopefully, for game six. Is that a possibility?
That's a possibility. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yes, I have been a little busy, so I do miss being on with you guys, and thank you for having me. Absolutely. I do want to say this, though. I do not think there has been an NBA champion that has started two guys 35 plus. I could be wrong. I don't think, I think the closest may have been, I know Duncan was about 37 when he won, but Manu probably was 35, 36, but he didn't start.
Yeah, the Lakers only had Morris when he was playing, or their stars. They only had just LeBron at about 35.
I'm talking about starting, not.
Yeah, starting. Yeah, because Morris came off. Morris started, I think, one game, but he's only 32.
Yeah, so when you get Laurie or PJ and those guys, it will be a record. It will be, I mean, and you guys talking about having three guys in the lineup. Oh, boy, that's a scary proposition. Shoot, even. Well, even in the old days, Wilt was.
They come off the banana boat. It could be the banana boat crew.
Russell might have been 35. Sam Jones, that might have been the last time two guys that was close to 35 played an important role. So just cautioning you guys to wanting all of these guys. It hasn't proven to be a recipe for success. So.
Well, what happened when we got Karl Malone and all those guys? And of those times we got these old veterans coming aboard who are going to take us to new championship rounds. Well,
if it wasn't for Karl Malone getting hurt and Gary Payton getting hurt.
Well, everybody says that all the time.
Yeah,
man.
But that's the whole point. When you're that old, the chances increases that you will get hurt.
You got a lot more chance of getting hurt and taking a lot longer to come back.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
That's just my two cents. So.
Well, Al Rob, great to have you back. Again, congratulations. I have one bit of advice for you, though. Do not let Jamie Sweet take care of your bachelor party.
Okay.
Please. At least. You know, the way the man was driving the other day while he was on the air was, he's the guy you do not want running your bachelor party. He'll volunteer.
Thank you. I'll keep Jamie in the dark on everything.
Fair enough indeed. But Spencer, you do such a great job at a place where I will probably, in fact, I'm going to do it. I'm going to debut my mock draft 5.0 because I have to now do it because they just announced with Jared Butler being cleared to play, he's going to go back into my mock draft. So my next mock draft, I will debut and send over to you because I just got dissed by Laker Tom, but I will go ahead and send it over to you at the great site, medium.com/basketball-university. Besides a pending mock draft coming your way, what else you got planned at Basketball University?
Well, I mean, I guess I didn't expect to be writing about the Bucks potentially winning the finals, but it looks like that's going to be the outcome. I just published an article about, I know you predicted it all along, which is amazing.
Not yet. I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch. So
I just published an article about, the like new rule changes involving foul baiting, which, you know, if you ever want to see an example of foul baiting, just like,
please
on the NBA finals and watch Chris Paul. But
yep.
I did a pretty comprehensive breakdown of like the ways people draw fouls and how the rule change might work. And I guess we'll finish out the NBA finals and, you know, hopefully we're going to have more draft content than just your mock draft and move into free agency.
One thing I do want to mention before we get to Laker Tom pitching Lakerholics.com is one thing that Jeff Van Gundy noted tonight was that they have not been calling defensive or offensive 3 seconds at all in the playoffs. He actually mentioned that it's been over a month for both. In fact, they only called, I think, what was it? Offensive 3 seconds one time in the playoffs entirely. And the other one, defensive 3 seconds, they've only called, last time they called it was June 14th, if that memory serves. So seeing that, they need to go ahead and say, is this going to be a thing or is it not going to be a thing going forward? And then the last thing is they do need to go ahead and take care of this 10-second rule with free throwing. It's ridiculous. Having the fans going ahead in chorus time and time again, you need to have them stop it because the fact is they're going to keep on mocking Giannis. And the only reason they're doing that
until
he starts
making them.
Well, no, until the referees start calling the 10-second rule. I think that's the thing. If they call the 10-second rule on him on more than one occasion, that stops it. That tells him he needs to hurry up. And it's becoming a joke. I mean, it's great fan interaction, But still, I think it's a joke of the NBA that they haven't done that yet, because, you know, you could say that they're counting too fast. The fact is they're counting it for a reason. It's because you're letting Giannis Antetokounmpo do that. And if you don't let other players do that as well, then you're favoriting Giannis. And that's the thing. Are you going to let all these players go ahead and over 10 seconds to free throw? It speed up the game, count it the rule the way it needs to be counted. That to me is just, it's quite simple. But Spencer,
Spencer's really addressed the whole issue in his article, because basically a lot of it is just the difference in how they treat fouls on the perimeter and fouls on the low post. And it's not just that they treat them differently. It's that they treat you differently if you're a low post player versus a perimeter player. So a perimeter player can get bumped even the slightest, even when he's down underneath the basket, driving to the basket, and it's a foul. That's the James Harden. It's the James Harden rule. And yet a big man like LeBron or like Giannis, basically, when he drives to the rim and there's collisions, basically he always gets the benefit because he's an offensive player. It's the new rule of basically eliminate the guy like Harden does, where you veer on a Euro step, where the Euro step is intended just to get contact, so you get a 3-point opportunity, you know. And the jump shooters who jump sideways to run into the defender when they're shooting, you know, 3-point shots. That's all going to go away, hopefully, with the new rules.
Well, we'll see what happens there. I'd love to see the new rules implemented, but also these rules that they have in place implemented, period, and not taken advantage of continuously, time in, time out. Why have these rules in place if you don't even call them, when they're egregiously taken advantage of by a team or by a player?
What about the flop rules? Wasn't it supposed to get penalties for flopping? I mean, that kind of went away.
Yeah, exactly.
Middleton had a great flop tonight, man.
Well, yeah, yes, he had to do that, though. He got smacked in the face twice.
Right, but it was like 3 seconds. He went down. It was like 1, 2, 3, and then he reacted as if he was
But then
slapped.
Again, how much different is that from what Crowder did on 2 occasions in game 4? Oh, my eye. One of them, you could clearly see it was like...
The players who are the real fault for this entire situation.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're pretty egregious overseas on soccer, yes. And in fact, it got to the point.
It was 3 seconds that it took me to decide to fake that foul. Didn't really happen.
Yeah, it got to the point now where it's bleeded over into American soccer. I was coaching soccer with my daughter's teams back when they were younger. And yeah, there was a critical playoff game we were having. And the kid on the other end of the team, their star player, went down with an apparent injury, quote unquote, and basically stopped the ball while we had it. And they got the ball back. Yeah. And it led to them being victorious by 1. So it's something that is egregious, but you don't know when the split second if somebody's acting, somebody's not. I mean, these replays tell us, you could, like with Crowder, you could see at least one of the occasions where he didn't even get touched. So yeah, it's just something, it's really bad. They call them veteran plays. So I'll leave that from there. But Laker Tom, you're doing some great things with Lakerholics.com. So please let us know what articles you got planned in store for us at Lakerholics.com.
Well, I'm in the middle of writing some articles on what the Lakers should do as far as trades and free agent markets. Basically looking at the best 5 options for them at point guard, the best options at shooting guard, and the best options at small forward if LeBron and AD are going to play the 4 and 5. And then how we're going to use our assets. We basically have 2 trading chips in the MLE. And then we got all of these other free agents that God knows whether we can work a deal with them. So it's sort of like I'm just trying to create a list of the pieces of the puzzle, basically, so that it's easy for people to say, well, why don't we trade for this guy, that guy, and, you know, this guy. It's like trying to even put it down into a small amount. So it's like one of those games where you, for $15, you build your team, you know, and you get to choose this guy from this row and 2 guys from this row and so forth. And as long as it doesn't go over $15, you have a viable team. So there's multiple pathways for the Lakers to fill up those 15 slots that they've got, whether they hard cap themselves or don't hard cap themselves. We're 2 weeks away from starting to find out what's going to happen. So I think it's time to start looking at the different options that the Lakers have and be looking at the rumor mill, because even though teams can't negotiate till August 2nd, they're all talking right now. Their agents are talking. The players are talking. The general managers are talking.
And when in August 2nd, 12 a.m. or whatever time of day they're going to open it up, there'll be probably a half a dozen deals that will be announced right at that point in time.
So funny, because the league, if they think there's really some egregious tampering, they'll want to ask for GM's phones or whatnot. Have a burner phone. And I can see like an espionage movie where they're just like, okay, they make the call, they do the text, whatnot, and then they crack it and throw it in the ocean or in the trash can as they walk away. So, you know, the NBA can't track them. But check out everything that Laker Tom is doing. Hopefully the now famous Laker Tom from our recent podcast with Rafael Barlow at LakerHolics.com. Check out Rob's comments there, probably making fun of Laker Tom along with Jamie Sweet at LakerHolics.com. But be part of the conversation there today at LakerHolics.com. Don't forget Spencer and all the great articles that they do at Basketball University on Medium. Once again, we will be back on Tuesday. Is the next game, game six, a crucial game six. Will Milwaukee take it home all the way? Will our season end on Tuesday? We'll find out. Also want to say that Mock Draft is up in a written form at LakerHolics.com. I will be producing audio forms of the Mock Draft as well, so check that out coming up here in the coming days at Lakers Fast Break. So thank you so much for listening and watching for an extended version of Lakers Fast Break. Hopefully you will join us on Tuesday night for game six, for the wrap up there. Will it be the end of the season? We'll find out coming up on Tuesday night, right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.